look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our very special guest, Dr. Ted Brower. Visit Dr. Brower's website, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. When you're there, be sure to sign up for his newsletter. I want to thank each and every person listening. We have listeners from Scotland. We've got listeners from the UK right now. 4 other countries that I know of in Europe, Canada, and of course all several people checking in from Central America. I want to thank everyone for checking in with us, and even a few in the United States. How great is that? Again, Dr. Ted Brower is with us tonight. Before we get to Dr. Brower, I want to mention, folks, for all of your precious metal needs, visit Steve Quayle's website, Renaissance Precious Metals. Go to stevequayle.com and click on the link for Renaissance Precious Metals. You know, now is the time to prepare. If you have your food, if you have your water, if you have your basic survival packages, if it's all set up, folks, then you're looking to invest in precious metals, there's only one place I would recommend, and that is Renaissance Precious Metals. Go to stevequayle.com, and there you have it. It's all laid out on his website. And he's been in the precious metals business for, my goodness, 3-4 decades. I don't know, longer than Joe's been alive. That's for sure. But visit Steve Quayle at Renaissance Precious Metals.
I said he was 15 years.
I said 15. Forty years, I think thirty. Okay. I mean, just a long time, man.
I thought you were making a joke.
No, and of course, healthmasters.com. Visit Healthmasters, sign up for Ted Brower's newsletter, and Healthmasters is the official nutritional supplement company of the Hagman and Hagman Report. That's Healthmasters.com.
We have Ted Brower, Dr. Ted Brower, with us this evening. As my earpiece falls out, he is back from his European trip, and he is full of information, and we're going to get into a lot of things. I'm going to let Ted go here in this hour, but first I wanted to ask him something that I've been doing a little bit of research as I have come across the publications from the Lucius Trust, Building the Carbon Temple. I know I've mentioned this on a show or two in the recent past. This article and these sets of articles basically talk about the cosmic bloodstream, the electric bridge, building the electric bridge, and what this boils down to is, as they say, through organic life, carbon is one of the, if not the most important elements in the carbon life, and that they can build a new body for spirits through carbon electric. And magnetism. They say magnetism is an ordering phenomenon, To scientist and occultist alike, the latter using it to transfigure the structure of form into a more suitable housing for spirit. Which it then goes on to say, the relationship between the inner and outer man revolves around the alchemy of carbon, and current research into working electronically and magnetically with carbon has huge implications for the future. And it even cites here, I'm looking for where it was here, it talks about this as being the key to the philosopher's stone. Magnetic carbon has a central role to play in this process, carbon being the hidden and long-searched-for key to the philosopher's stone. We know Jesus was the cornerstone that the builders rejected, the philosopher's stone being gnosis or knowledge. Well, I sent this off to you, Ted. I don't know if you got it yet.
This is apotheosis, basically.
Well, you gotta be careful. You can't use words like alchemy, because, you know, when you start using words that have multiple meanings, you know, you get kind of yelled at by some of your listeners. So Joe didn't mean that. He's talking about chemistry. And so, I'm being facetious right now because I had that happen to me last year because it was so funny, Doug and Joe, when I mentioned this to you. And what I want you to do is send that to me, Joe. I'm going to read it. I'm going to analyze it. I'm going to outline it. Next time I come on with you guys, I'll do a detailed report on what they're talking about. Because remember, this is Lucius Trust. It used to be called Lucifer Trust. And this is a group of people that are basically, into all of the occult teachings and what they do and what they believe, and if they're actually exposing some of what they're trying to do now through CERN and through frequency and through magnetism, I want to get a good handle on it, and I'll report it to you guys the best I can. And the problem that I have is that not that, because 99% of y'all's listeners are just beyond belief. They're the best listeners I've ever been on with, and I love them. They're great. In fact, I just thank you guys for your supporting Health Masters and supporting Hagman. I just think it's wonderful. But, you know, you always get that 1% that doesn't support Hagman, doesn't support anybody, and they're just kickers. And I've learned a long time ago that givers never kick, pretty much, and kickers never give. I've learned that too. And, you know, the problem we run into is that people like to try to tear into you because you say something about forbidden knowledge that you're not supposed to know, or you bring up something that you're basically done research on, and if it's not, quote, written out in triplicate in the Bible, then they think that it's heresy. And the sad part about this is we can't be like that. We've got to realize that God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but it didn't go into detail in the biophysics of how the universe is put together. You know, they talked about some of the generalities, but it didn't go into detail. But we as Christians have to be aware of how things work and how they're being put together. I know last Christmas in November, we talked about the blood of Jesus, and we went into detail on what the blood of Jesus does and how it heals us as far as the theories that I've espoused and how it works from a physics standpoint and the power and the authority that we've been given as a believer in Jesus Christ, and what happens when we're united with God in His dimension, and He shares with us part of His omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence, and what happens to the authority as a believer that we're given. And then when we're talking about all this, if all hell breaks loose, and I get massively attacked because of a show because I used the word which had multiple meanings, and I didn't explain the meaning that I used, and so I got to be careful when I do shows like that, because I love doing shows like that, because like Doug says, I read a lot. I read a lot of stuff. I read a lot of books. And so I have a really good retention on my books that I read. And I can kind of put it together and make sense out of it. Because in these latter times that we're going into, it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah again. That's where we're going. And Steve Quayle talks about that. And Tom Horn talks about that. And a lot of us talk about all of this stuff on an ongoing basis of what's fixing to happen. And it's not going to be pretty. I mean, the book of Revelation is not a happy, happy book. And see, we just need to be aware of what's happening. But let's jump back to onto the nutrition stuff, and we'll do all of that stuff after I get that information from you, Joe, and we'll do an outline on it. I want to talk about how we got from the GMO labeling to GMO. And this is something that people need to realize, that, you know, we've had 3 years of GMO labeling legislation. What they've done is they've continually lied to us about what genetically modified origin means and how they're literally rewriting our DNA. So now, because they've lied to us so long and people are having all these health problems from these products, especially when they're sprayed with glyphosate, now they're coming back and they're giving us GMO propaganda, because the billions and billions of dollars that are made in GMO foods every single year, these guys have a lot of money to basically go in and lobby Congress to force us to eat this filth. And that's one of the nicest things that I had when I was in Germany. I knew that I wasn't eating GMO grain, and I wasn't eating things that have been sprayed down soaked down in glyphosate. And now that I want that, let me talk about the crops that are sprayed with Roundup just a week before harvest. Now, this is very important that you guys only buy these particular products organic. It's going to be wheat, oats, flax, peas, lentils, dry beans, and if you're going to use sugar, make sure it's non-GMO sugar and make sure it hasn't been sprayed with glyphosate. I don't recommend eating a lot of sugar because of the inflammation qualities of the product. But remember, just a few days they're being sprayed on these products. Now, that doesn't mean just on GMO crops. It means on everything that they're being producing. If it's not organic, wheat, oats, canola, which is a, you know, we should be using canola oil anyhow, flax, peas, lentils, dry beans, sugarcane, all of this stuff is sprayed with glyphosate, which is Roundup, right before it's harvested because it increases crop yield to the plant as far as when they run the combines over it. And they don't care that they're spraying us with a poison that's been linked to like almost 20 different diseases, according to Monsanto's own records, and cancers. They don't care. They're spraying it, and you're eating it in your food, and it's causing so many problems with gluten sensitivity, etc., because we're being poisoned by the Roundup. And guys, don't do it. It's better to eat organic. Stop eating out on a regular basis like many people do, and stop wasting your money on all of that food you're buying out, and just realize that if you just eat at home, even if you buy organic and you stop eating out as much, you'll end up being a lot healthier for it, and you won't be spending as much money because eating out is expensive. I know when we were in Europe, Doug, we'd go to a grocery store and we'd buy some organic non-GMO bread and, you know, and cheese or whatever, because I had my 13-year-old with us in the car, and, you know, they're always wanting to eat, they're always wanting the snack, you know, and if you stop in restaurants all the time, number one, it's extremely expensive, especially in Switzerland. Switzerland is so ridiculously overpriced because the Swiss franc is so strong that it's like a lunch meal. My friend took us out to lunch. It's like 50 French francs for lunch, which is like $60. For lunch, for one person, Doug, not for four or five people, that's for one person. There were like five of us at lunch, and the bill was like $400 for a lunch. Can you believe that? And it wasn't in a fancy restaurant. It was in like a traditional Swiss restaurant.
Tell me again, how much equivalent U.S.?
It's about 110, so it's about like a euro. So it's like about $60 for $50 when the exchange rate. Jeez. And okay. That was like some beef and potatoes.
Right.
It wasn't something fancy. And right. I couldn't believe it. In fact, my buddy took us out, and I told him, I said, look, I said, we don't have to eat here, dude. We can go somewhere else. He goes, it's all like this here. And I'm like, man, that's just nuts. But, oh, by the way, German pharmaceutical giant Bayer is considering making a bid to buy American agrochemical company Monsanto. You know, this whole thing is just on this. This is just, now I love the way Mike Adams wrote it. He goes, Nazi founded Bayer Chemical Company wants to buy Satan inspired Monsanto for $42 billion. It's a perfect match made in chemical hell. I gotta give you, Mike, that was a good one, buddy.
Does that seem like a low number if that was a serious bid?
I don't think so. Monsanto's sales are way down. Their profits are way down. Their brand image has been so tainted because of glyphosate, Joe, that I don't think it is. I think that, you know, that if anything, I think it's a little bit high because of the amount of people. And they're getting sued all over the place. Manufacturers now are being sued. Like Quaker Oats has got a big lawsuit going on now because they said they were a natural product and they didn't bother telling anybody they've been sprayed with glyphosate. And a lot of the manufacturers now are refusing to use products have been sprayed with glyphosate because of the lawsuits. Because, I mean, when the manufacturer uses that and then it gets linked to a certain disease, then they're going to be opening themselves up to a class action lawsuit. I remember years ago this happened with Oreo cookies. Now, Oreo cookies were using the hydrogenated oils as their fillings. And finally, some guy had enough of it. He filed a lawsuit on Oreo for using trans fats, which have been shown to increase the risk of heart disease, diabetes, and cancer, and breast cancer. And so he filed this lawsuit and got everybody's attention in the industry. And right after that, the Food and Drug Administration came in, and they said that all manufacturers had to start labeling trans fats, and they had to come up with a daily acceptable limit of trans fats. This is like margarine or Crisco. And the FDA came back and said, we don't know how to do that. We don't know how to give you a daily acceptable limit of trans fats because they're so poisonous and so toxic to human bodies, there is no daily acceptable limit. Now, guys, years ago, I was doing a show with Steve and Vicky. They were the number one talk show in Atlanta, Georgia. I think it was Star 95 FM, and you guys are in Atlanta, you may remember that. And I'd been on the show like a dozen times, and they'd never really repeated a guest as much as they had my show, because I was on there, and every time I came on, we talked about health or the top 10 foods never to eat or other different things to talk about. And one day I was on there, and I was doing the show, and I was talking about trans fats and margarine. I was talking about how poisonous they were and how toxic they were. This is before the Food and Drug Administration, back in the 90s, before they required labeling. And I'll never forget this. You know, we did this show. We had a huge response from the show. In fact, it was the largest response we had in book and CD sales of any show I've ever done for a single show. We were only on for like 20 minutes, but it was amazing how many people actually wanted to buy the material. Well, what happened is it was either one of the major universities up there. I think it may have been Tufts or one of the other ones. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. They got all mad, and they said that Ted Brewer doesn't know what he's talking about, because he said that butter is better than margarine, and margarine is vastly superior. So they came on, they called up the general manager of the station, and they demanded equal airtime to refute what I had said, and to basically say that I didn't know what I was talking about, how poisonous and bad margarine and trans fats and hydrogenated oils were. And they brought a bunch of dietitians in to come in and tell everybody that I was wrong. And sure enough, they had to give me equal airtime. They got like 20 minutes to go in there and say Ted was wrong about this, he's wrong about this, blah, blah, blah. Well, then what happens is, about 6 months later, that's when the FDA came in and finally said it had to be labeled because it was so poisonous, and everything I said was right. Everything I said was right. And see, the thing about it is, I'm a research biochemist. I was trained at Florida State. I know what a trans fat is. And what happened is, I remember Steve called me back up and wanted to do another show after the FDA had come in and basically exonerated me and proved that everything I had said was correct. And what he said was this. This time I wasn't in studio. I was at my house here. And I'll never forget how he started the show. He said, my listeners heard you the last time you were on, and they thought you did a phenomenal show, but this university came in and said that you were nuts. How do you feel about this, Ted? This is how we started the show. This is live, on the air, number one station in Atlanta. I started laughing, and I said, they're absolutely right, Steve. I'm nuttier than a fruitcake. And he said, what do you mean you're nuts? And I said, well, I'm crazy enough to believe that the U.S. doesn't have to lead the world when it comes to heart disease, to diabetes, and to cancer, that the leading cause of death in our children doesn't have to be cancer, that we don't have to have all of this problem with heart disease and all these other things we're going through in the United States. So if that makes me crazy, I'm certifiable. I'm absolutely nuts, because I believe that we can fix this mess in the United States. And he started laughing, and he goes, and by the way, you tell him what happened about the trans fats, and then I was able to talk about what happened with the Food and Drug Administration and how every single thing that I had said I was right on, and how this university had to basically, oh, by the way, when I came in and did that show, Doug, they weren't asking for any additional airtime, because they had already proven themselves how incredibly incompetent they were. The stuff with the trans fats had been around for over 50 years and how poisonous it was. They were introduced back in the 30s and the 40s when the United States had a shortage of butter, and they took hydrogen, they took like corn oil, they bubbled hydrogen through it at like 1,000 degrees, they used nickel as a catalyst, and they turned that corn oil into a liquid, into a solid fat that was white. And then what they did is they put yellow food coloring in it, and they called it margarine. It's one of the most poisonous substances ever put into the human population. And what the problem was is they were promoting it because of the big cholesterol scare, that butter was bad, butter was bad, butter was bad, this is better. It was all a marketing campaign to sell this filthy, nasty stuff to the American population to use after the war years were over, because they found the market for this low cholesterol product. Remember, margarine is 100% fat. Butter is 100% fat. The difference is butter is a natural product. If you get organic butter, it's actually good for you. You get trans fats or margarine or Crisco, it's poisonous to the body. So remember, that's one of my top 10 foods never to eat. And in fact, that was one of the Kevorkian four, named after the late suicide doctor. Dr. Kevorkian liked to kill people, you know, help them commit suicide, because that was one of the suicide foods that we talked about on the top 10 list. The first being the high fat luncheon meats with the sodium nitrite, bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni, hot dogs. Number two being aspartame, the diet sodas, which were linked to brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, and optic nerve degradation. Number three being shellfish, because of death rates associated with shellfish and because of the toxicity associated with toxic shellfish paralysis and poisoning. And number four being trans fats. And every single thing that I talked about on that top 10 list has now been proven 20 some odd years later that I was 100% right, Doug. And all of the things that I warned people about as far as 35 years ago, I've been proven to be correct, because I saw it from a clinical standpoint in working with thousands of patients on a one-on-one basis. And I saw that the majority of the diseases these people had. Heart disease, diabetes, and cancer could all be traced back to the diet they were eating, and I was able to put that into written format and put together a program that we have that's called Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy. Still available. We have a few of those units left. They're on CD, so that's antiquated now. And so, but that's the program that we put people through because it took them through a systematic process on lowering blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar level without the use of drugs. It had like a 90% success rate in working with kids who had ADD, but it doesn't work for the kids with the autism because, again, we know what's going on with that now and how that's been, you know, promulgated through the population because of all the chemicals we've been put into our bodies and the Nagalase. But anyhow, so this Bayer is reportedly interested in buying Monsanto for $40 billion. So we'll see if they put that together. And by the way, a lot of this goes back to IG Farben, and the breakup of that company from Nazi Germany. So you guys need to do some research on that. Here's another article. High fructose diet during pregnancy can actually harm the placenta and restrict fetal growth and blood flow to the infant. This is the high fructose corn syrup, again, that we've talked about in detail. It can cause metabolic mayhem in the body, and you need to stay away from high fructose corn syrup. But now they've gone in and they've started changing it, and now they don't call it high fructose corn syrup anymore. They call it fructose or fruit sugar. They're changing the labels on all of this stuff because they don't want you to realize what you're eating anymore. Here's another interesting article that I want to share with you guys. It's real important. It says, nurse whistleblower, hospitals are vaccinating patients by force without their knowledge. And what they do is when you go into the hospital, you sign paperwork that gives them the right, especially if you go under surgery, Doug and Joe, to pretty much do anything they want to do to you whenever they want to do it to you without having to ask or get additional permission. That's just one of those blanket forms that you fill out. When my mother-in-law was put into the hospital last year with her heart, she basically, the lady's in a stretcher. She just got out of the ambulance, and they're asking her questions. You know that one of the first questions they asked her was, have you had your flu shot? Have you had your stinking flu shot? Can you believe that? One of the lady's like almost unconscious, and they want to ask her about her flu shot. And I looked at them, and I said, no, she hasn't had her flu shot, and no, you're not giving her a flu shot. Well, we need to give her a flu shot. I said, no. Well, she needs to sign this form so she can get her flu shot. No. And we had to sit there and argue with them for 5 minutes about a stupid flu shot. See, know your rights, guys. They don't have the right to shove needles in you and inject you with junk. They don't have the right to do that. They have to get your permission. So when you start signing these blanket forms, my Aunt Audrey, one of the finest ladies I've ever known, she was like 80 years old. The doctor told her that she needed to have bypass surgery done. And I pleaded with her and pleaded with her not to do it. I said, Audrey, please don't do this. Please don't do this. Please don't do this. You're 80 years old. I said, you'll die of something else before you die of atherosclerotic plaquing. She goes, well, the doctor said I need to do this because my oxygen levels are down by like 20%. I said, that's ridiculous. I said, you pushed a stroller, you know, outside yesterday for like 10 miles. You never had a shortage of breath. I said, you don't need to have this done. Well, I'm going to get it done. Please don't do it. Please don't do it. Well, they went in. They said, oh, by the way, when they were in here, we found out you have a bad valve in your heart, so we have to replace the heart valve too. Well, she never woke up out of surgery. And, you know, she went into a coma, and she was dead a couple of days later. And then, you know, and they asked me to come up and do the eulogy and preach her funeral for her. And the sad part about it is, Doug, it wasn't necessary. I believe with all of my heart that she'd still be with us today, right now, if she had listened to me and had not gone in and got a different, again, and get multiple opinions about the heart surgery. See, guys, listen to me for a second. You don't have to go in and do what they tell you to do. You need to get, when you start doing this super advanced surgery, this super risky surgery, and then they told her, they said, well, this is routine. It's routine surgery. This is no big deal anymore. It's routine. That is a lie from hell. Bypass surgery, valve replacement is not routine surgery. We've done all of this stuff talking about the electrical energies of the heart, how they interface with the brain, and how when you pull the heart out of the body, 99% of the time you completely change your personality. And all of these things they don't tell you. And so get multiple opinions. It is not routine surgery. They may have done a bunch of them, which makes it routine for the doctor because he has a 4 o'clock tee time and he can get out of there if he starts the surgery at 10 in the morning and he can be out of there on time to play golf. Okay, whatever. Okay, but the point is, it's not something that's risk-free. About 10% of the people have problems with just anesthesia. About 1% of the people end up dying from anesthesia. Just that alone should make you think before you go in to have surgery done. So please don't believe any of this stuff is routine. Don't get involved with it. But this nurse whistleblower says that hospitals are vaccinating patients by force without their knowledge because they're signing these blanket forms. Guys, listen to me. When they start sticking needles in you, you need to be asking them what they're putting in you. And you'd be saying, look, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be involved in that. Here's another article. More than one vaccine per year is priming children for depression. And this is I don't see an author on this. It's out of preventdisease.com. It says children currently receive 49 doses. Listen to this. This is nuts. Children currently receive 49 doses of 14 vaccines before the age of 6. Experts now claim that more than one vaccine within a one-year period can actually cause children to become depressed by overactivating their immune systems. I mean, guys, listen to me. You know, we have a Health Master's baby in Switzerland that's doing great. Austin has a Health Master's baby that's doing great. None of my children were vaccinated. I mean, they're all doing great. You don't have to believe the medical lie about all of this stuff. Children, if you keep them clean, you keep the good nutrients in their bodies, you keep their vitamins in their bodies, and you have good prenatal nutrition. I mean, the only reason they ever started the hepatitis shot with newborns is because they assumed that all mothers were hepatitis-carrying IV drug prostitutes, and they wanted to go ahead and immunize that baby as soon as it was born. It doesn't even work. The immunization for that child in the first year should come straight from the mother's milk. I mean, their immune system's not developed to be able to do stuff like that. So don't believe any of this stuff. Here's another article. Organic baby formula and two brands are not so organic. And it lists specifically the Honest Company for its brand premium infant formula advertised and labeled as organic when it actually contains 11 substances that are prohibited by federal law from organics. And then the Hain's Celestial for its Earth Best brands, including organic infant formula, organic soy, never give your baby soy formula, has basically been shown that it has 48 ingredients that violate USDA organic standards. Guys, the best thing you could give that baby is breast milk. Ladies, please breastfeed your children. Lana and Sharon right now are working on putting a new book together. I can't give you the title because I don't want somebody to copy. I've already had people copy my titles before we get our books out because I announced what we were going to write it on and give you a title, and I have to release the title. I'll never forget I was in a doggone. And I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to do that. But somebody copied one of my titles, one of my CD sets is what they did. And I walk into a bookstore and sure enough, there's a doggone book. I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe they actually did that. Big Candy breaks up with GMO sugar beets and leaves GM, genetically modified producers in a lurch. Candy is starting to realize now that this GMO stuff, it has got to stop. And all kinds of other manufacturers are saying that we're going to break with any type of products that contain GMO products and any things that are being used with glyphosate. Oh, here's another great article, guys. Bill Gates Groups buys $1 billion in vaccination, apparently stocks, for GCX, Merck, and Pfizer to try to push the vaccine agenda even faster. And now they're going to be giving them to 37 different countries to administer to children. It wasn't enough they were doing it in the United States. Now they want to try to do it to all these other kids around the planet. And Joe, this whole thing with the autism goes back to what you were talking about from the Lucis Trust and what they're doing to these kids. And we're going to go into detail on that when I do the next show with you guys. Here's another article. The omega-3 fatty acid known as DHA has shown to counter the adverse health effects of high fructose corn syrup. I love this. Remember what I told you, Doug, when you first started working on getting your blood sugar stabilized and then getting it healthy again? And I said, Doug, one of the things you got to do is you got to get off the high fructose corn syrup and you got to start taking cod liver oil because of what it does for the health benefits. This is omega-3 fat. Cod liver oil has been shown to counter the adverse health effects of high fructose corn syrup. And so it actually helps to heal your body and your brain. Plus, ladies, in your last trimester of pregnancy, make sure you take a lot of omega-3 fats because this is the fat that helps to create the brain because the brain is basically a giant sack of fats, all it is. And it's like a receiver. We'll talk about that next time we do a show. it's like a cosmic receiver is what it is, the brain is, and it deals with our DNA and the double helix coil and all the stuff that we've talked about on the show multiple times. But the truth of the matter is the brain needs large amounts of fat in the diet, and when a woman is pregnant in the last trimester, she's got to be taking a really good omega-3 supplement. I know Lana did when she was pregnant with Hunter, because it'll massively increase the IQ scores. And it really helps to prevent postpartum depression in these mothers who have these babies. If Maureen, what was her name, Marie Osmond had been taking enough omega-3 fats, you know, after that last baby was born, when she came down with postpartum depression, she probably never would have come down with postpartum depression. Joe and Doug, what do you guys think about that?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, it's amazing how all of these things work together. And folks, listen to this in the context. I believe we have to listen to this in the context of in the times in which we live, because we are appointed to play our positions. And I always say this, we have a job to do. God has breathed life into us. We are here for a reason. And you know, it certainly is a whole lot better being here and being, feeling good, being healthy. We can do our jobs much better and with dispatch rather than being hobbled or impaired, especially when it's self-inflicted. So you're right. You know, so many natural remedies here that you're giving us.
Well, no, it's ridiculous how so many things that we do to our bodies are causing so many health problems. I mean, it's kind of like a windshield on an automobile, right? It comes with standard equipment on the car, so you don't think much about having a windshield. Now, if you pull the windshield out and you try to drive down the interstate at 80 miles an hour, you're going to find out real quick how important the windshield was. Well, that's kind of like we do with our bodies. When our health comes to us as standard equipment when we're born, if our mother had good prenatal nutrition, we kind of ignore the fact that we're healthy because we don't have to think about it. And so our bodies basically self-repair if they're given the proper nutrients. But over a period of time, if they don't have the proper nutrients, our body stops self-repairing. And we start getting diseases like heart disease or diabetes or cancer or whatever, because our bodies aren't doing what they need to do because they're not getting the raw materials to do it. And at that point in time, you start to pay attention to your body, because you're like, oh my gosh, I've been diagnosed with this disease. I can't believe this. You know, this dis-ease. And so now all of a sudden now we're having a problem with our bodies because we've neglected our body. And that's why I remember last year I had a dear friend of mine who was in South Africa, and he had a friend who had come down with cancer who was dying. And he was spending his huge amounts of money trying to cure himself. You know, he's like in his 50s. The guy was like a billionaire. And he was spending like everything he could trying to cure himself. And he was willing to spend everything he had if he could cure himself from dying and not, you know, check out. And so the sad part about this is he ended up, you know, going, you know, all kinds of medical models that weren't really going to work for what he had. He ends up dying anyhow. But see, that's the position that you do not want to be in. You don't want to be in a position where, you know, we have an EMP or, you know, electromagnetic pulse, or something bad happens and we're taking 25 prescription meds, and that all of a sudden now we can't get a hold of our medication. Or you're an adult onset diabetic and your insulin has to be refrigerated and now power goes out. If you can find out how to stabilize your blood sugar and get healthy blood sugar as an adult onset, then you may not have to use insulin. And all of these things need to be done with your medical doctor if you're taking these drugs before we have a major event in the economy like what Venezuela is having right now. You need to be in a situation where you're healthy. You've got vitamins stored up, you've got food stored up, you've got water stored up, you've got survival supplies stored up, you've got gold and silver stored up for after it all happens. But Doug, you were right about this. You need to have all these other things stored up before you have the gold and the silver, because if you don't have food to eat, you're going to be spending all your gold and silver immediately trying to buy something to eat. So this is what we need to do. I know Harrison was saying to me the other day, because you know we try to keep a little bit of food stored up in case something happens here at the house. He goes, well, Dad, we're not out in the country far enough. And I said, Harrison, if it gets bad enough and we go into a post-apocalyptic world and 90% of the population of the planet dies, I said, quite frankly, if they're going to nuke us, I want the first nuke to detonate about a mile over my head, and I'll just wake up in heaven like instantaneously. And I said, I'll be gone. I said, I don't want to have to deal with all of this stuff anyhow. I said, because my whole thing is this. I'm not trying to survive an apocalyptic crash. I'm trying to survive an EMP that may knock out some power grids for a couple of months until everything gets back into play again. That's all we can hope for, because we become so, how should I say it, Doug? We become so reliant on everything that people are bringing in, and the United States is not even reliant itself as far as producing its own food or its own manufacturing facilities, are all been, they've all been shopped out. So it'll be interesting if they actually take it to that level, which I hope and pray they do not. I think they just want to keep us as slaves and not worry about it, to be honest with you. Bring us back into a feudal system. Here's another interesting story on Aldi. Guys, do your best to support Aldi. Aldi is actually putting healthy snacks now and a lot of non-GMO stuff right at the checkout lines, where a lot of people put a lot of sugar and candy to try to let the kids eat healthy foods. There's a huge chain that came out of Germany, and we always try to shop there when we're over there, and we have a local Aldi. It's A-L-D-I market here in our town, and we always try to go there at least once a week and buy something. Here's another article. 13-year-old dies days after the HPV vaccine. I mean, unbelievable. After receiving a second dose of HPV vaccine at Derby High School, 13-year-old Chazelle Zaman immediately fell ill. Just 5 days after the school-sponsored dose of immunization, she was buried. I mean, she was suffering with severe vomiting and dizziness and headaches after the HPV vaccine, but they were so severe that her family took her to the hospital. And but the family claimed that the doctor dismissed her condition and said it could not be linked to the cervical cancer jab. And he said that she had a stomach flu and sent her home. She was found collapsed and unconscious with no pulse an hour later at her home in Bury. She died 4 hours later. I mean, you know, she's 13 years old. This HPV vaccine is sterilizing an entire group of little young girls. And now they want to include it in the vaccine schedule, Doug and Joe. That's something that just happened right before I left town, before I had a chance to talk to you guys about it. They want to put the HPV shot, the Gardasil shot, in the vaccine schedule to force both boys and girls to get this as infants. And what it does, it puts them into what's called ovarian failure, or menopause is what it does. It puts them in the menopause at 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years of age in a lot of these girls, and it completely sterilizes them. And so this, again, is part of the globalist agenda to reduce the population. I don't recommend that shot at all. And even the woman who did the research on that shot, she ended up coming out and disputing it and saying the product doesn't work and it shouldn't be given to children. Here's another article. America's largest chicken producer recalls 4.5 million pounds of meat. The largest chicken producer in the United States recalling millions of pounds of meat. This is Pilgrim's Pride Corporation. And it says that they're calling it the health hazards. And they said that their materials, including plastic, wood, and rubber, and metal, have been contaminated chicken products that were produced for almost a 2-year period. And now what they're doing is they're actually passing laws, and they're going to say that once this passes through the FDA and the Food and Drug Administration and then USDA, that consumers will no longer even know their meat origin after the U.S. ends labeling law as part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. Can you believe this, guys, that they're actually not going to let us know where the meat comes from any longer? It could be coming out of China, and they have their big dog festival there every year, in which there's huge petitions now online because they actually take pets and they butcher them and they eat dogs. It's some big delicacy over there in China. And so they actually auction off these dogs for people to eat. And so how in the world that we're getting meat out of China do we not know that has dog or cat in it, for heaven's sakes? And now they're trying to pass the laws because of the Trans-Pacific Partnership that's going to prevent us from even knowing that. What do you guys think about that?
Well, you're also getting news out of China. I mean, look, there's so much that's going on with our food, I believe, that no one's talking about this.
Package human flesh into Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, the level of contamination of our food. I read an article recently where I forget the percentage of hamburger meat and other ground beef.
Human DNA.
Human DNA and animal feces. It's just unbelievable.
You know, it is the larger agenda here at play. And as I spoke about earlier this week, Ted, I believe that what we're seeing in everything that you bring up here, these are all little pieces of a larger tapestry. And that tapestry is this global takeover. And it's getting more and more difficult for any rational, sensible human being to deny, I believe. That's what I suspect, that, you know, and anyone who would choose to deny what is taking place is either absolutely intellectually hobbled or otherwise complicit. I don't know how else to explain it, because you can't, looking at these, all of the information you've gone through in the last 90 minutes is so important to all of us. And you know, we're not going to be good warriors for the cause. We're not going to be good for anything, really, whether it be for ourselves, our family, or for, you know, spreading the word, if we're not taking care of ourselves. A lot of problems out there, brother. Man.
Well, no, and then, again, it goes back to the eugenics protocol that we've talked about in such detail on your show. You know, that was started in the United States out in California and then moved into Germany. It's all based upon Darwinism and the survival of the fittest, and it's all back to that Sabbatean philosophy that we're just basically animals and that, you know, it just, you know, we're goyim, you know. And so it's sad to me, Doug and Joe, that people don't want to open up their eyes and look at it. I guess what will happen is when they go to the refrigerator and there's no food, and or they'll turn on the faucet and there's no water, or they'll flip the light switch on, or the lights are out. They're going to go, wow, all of the stuff that Doug and Joe and Steve Quayle and all these people, Pastor Langford, have talked about now for the past years, it was real. And see, and that's the thing. You don't want to find yourself in that position. You'd rather walk out to your generator, flip it on, or have your solar panels going, and now you still got power and electricity, and you still have your well working, and you still got water being pumped. And, you know, this is what happened to us back in 2004. We had three hurricanes. This is, and you will never convince me that it wasn't a direct result of HARP. We had three hurricanes. We live in Polk County, Florida, and X marks the spot, and they put three hurricanes in 2 weeks apart, you know, over a 6 week period, that all went over my county. And by the third county, the water was so saturated, we had multiple oak trees falling in the yard, and the power went out. But it didn't affect me. And all the neighbors had no power for almost a week. It was actually a week. But I had a generator. My generator booted up. All my refrigerators were working. My water was working fine. My well was working fine. I was still able to take showers. I didn't have to move out of the house. And we lived with the generator running for, you know, a week. And I thought, wow, how amazing is this? I was actually prepared for what just happened. I was prepared with food and with water and with generator and with propane and all the stuff that I needed just to keep my life going. Now, I didn't have an AC system in my house because my generator didn't produce that much power, but all my lights were working, and we were fine for a week. And you know, the neighbors in the neighborhood, they were actually moving out and going to other cities and getting hotel rooms because they couldn't survive. They couldn't live in their houses without any type of utilities available to them. See, this is the thing that everybody needs to understand. It's like all the stuff that we do at Health Masters. I practice what I preach. I mean, Joe, we've talked about this and we've laughed about it. We went into a restaurant in the hotel that we were at when we met you guys, and all they had was unclean meat. And I said to you guys, I don't want to eat here. There's nothing for me to eat. We went to another restaurant, and I ordered, I think, a Reuben sandwich that was organic with non-GMO and no sodium nitrite in the meat. And I said, I'm not going to eat that food in the other restaurant because it's not good. And I mean, I actually do what I say I'm going to do. I practice what I preach. I work out 6 days a week. I mean, we pray every day. I mean, out loud as a family every morning. And, you know, we do what we say we're going to do because I want to bring you the finest, highest quality supplements in the world. I know when Dave Hodges called me up and said he was having problems with his knee, I said, well, why don't you try our healthy joint protocol? So he tried that. Now that became the Hodges healthy joint protocol because he got such tremendous results out of that joint protocol that we have. And now we have the Hagman healthy blood sugar protocol. I mean, see, that's the thing we try to teach people is that we practice what we preach. I mean, guys, I mean, I'm not just sitting here promoting a bunch of supplements. I mean, I took 50 vitamins today. You think you really took 50 vitamins? Yeah, I really took 50 vitamins because my body was a little bit run down. I knew that I had to take some extra things for my immune system. Now, I don't take 50 vitamins every day, but I probably take 20 or 30 different pills a day. And so you can't look at them as if, you know, not talking about bottles, I'm talking about pills. You can't look at them as drugs. You have to look at them as nutrients. If I ask you, how many peas did you eat last night when you had your roast beef sandwich or your roast beef with your mashed potatoes with your peas, you say, I don't know. I didn't count my peas. Same thing with me. I've got my B vitamins. I got my vitamin D. I've got my astragalus that I took today. I've got my potassium iodide that I take that day. Well, right there, you take a couple of each of those and you got 8-9 pills going down. You think, so you can't look at the pills as a drug, which is what we're used to doing when we see a pill. We have to look at them as a nutrient. And when you see them as a nutrient rather than as a pill, then it makes a lot more sense. And you say, well, I took 20 different vitamins a day. Well, yeah, because you can't take one giant vitamin that's natural because you can't swallow it. It's too big. That's why the ones that are like, they say that you're supposed to take like one of these a day. The problem is the products are so contaminated with shellac and fillers and binders and chemical this and chemical that, plus the nutrient dosing is so low that they don't do any good. Plus your body has a very difficult time absorbing them because they're in a shellac coating. They won't even break down, which is probably good because they're a chemical vitamin anyhow. I mean, that's why you go into these portalists and you find all of these different vitamins all the time because your body doesn't utilize them, and they have to have screens in them because of the body. They're full of these vitamins that don't get utilized, and people call me up and they say, well, the vitamins I got at Walmart don't work. Well, yeah, you know, no joke. They don't work because they're junk vitamins. And, oh, by the way, Doug, that's the answer to the transgender bathrooms. Put portalists outside of every mall and let them use portalists for the transgender bathroom. That would be perfect, don't you think?
That's too gracious, actually, but that's just my view.
But the portlets would work. And here's another article. Undeniable evidence from numerous studies proves that fluoride causes cancer. You know, I've been screaming this for the last 35 years, and I'm not going to even go over it because I've covered it so many times. Don't use fluoride. Use a distiller. Go to Health Masters and get a distillation system and stop drinking water that's full of calcium and fluoride. Here's another article. It says, New Holocaust says that medical errors are the third leading cause of death in the United States, claiming hundreds of thousands of people a year because of mistakes in hospitals. Guys, let me give you some advice. Find yourself a natural physician who wants to treat you without a bunch of drugs, and then try to stay with him and not go to hospitals with these doctors that are being paid to cut, burn, or poison you. You'll be a lot healthier for it. Here's another article. The latest disease outbreak among vaccinated Harvard students highlights the truth about vaccine failures. This is really interesting because these kids who have gotten their vaccines for mumps are now getting the mumps and transmitting them to other people who have the mumps. Because remember, vaccinations are not immunizations. You don't get immunized. You don't get immunity to these diseases for the rest of your life. It wears off. Whereas if you come down with the mumps when you're young, like you and I did, Doug, you never get the mumps again. It doesn't make any difference. Or you never get the measles again. And see, that's what people need to understand. We used to have mumps and measles parties and chickenpox parties when I was a kid because everybody wanted their kids to get past it quickly and get lifetime immunity. Vaccines do not give you immunity. They only give you the false sense of immunity. Here's another article that says state orders parents. They have to register their unvaccinated children. That happened in Colorado. Another shot. Here's another one. No shot, no daycare, no school. Every child, every vaccine. Governor Moonbeam Jerry Brown signed this. SB 277, the most stringent vaccine mandate in the United States on June the 30th, 2015. It will go into effect July the 1st, 2016. The sad part about all of this is that California used to lead the country in natural everything. That's where health food stores got started. Now California's gotten so liberal and so communist, they're trying to do everything they possibly can to enslave the population there. And Governor Jerry Brown hasn't done anybody any favors by doing this. And they're doing the same thing now in Australia. My customer, Jarina, out of Switzerland, she told me that in Australia they're doing the same thing. She has family down there, that if they don't give the kids the vaccines, they can't qualify for any government anything without the kids being vaccinated down there. Another article we've covered before talks about how natural sunlight can actually increase your lifespan. And another one that we've done multiple times, that cell phone radiation has now been shown to cause cancer and brain cancer. We've talked about that in detail with you guys, but I want to cover it one more time with you guys. Make sure you use a speakerphone on your cell phone and hold that cell phone away from you at least 6 inches. And if you can't talk on the phone because it's a private conversation, leave the room and go somewhere where you can talk, where you don't have to hold the phone up to your ear. It's incredibly dangerous and very, very horrible on your body to hold that cell phone with that microwave energy being poured into your brain. Here's another one. Big Pharma is being exposed for knowingly causing the opioid epidemic, ushering a heroin nightmare into the United States. I have covered this on your show, and now it is coming to roost, and I have talked about how they have given all of these people OxyContin. Now they've restricted the supply, and so many of these people, Doug, that were given these opiates, and now they can't get them anymore. They are going to heroin. And now heroin is a huge growth industry in the United States, being brought in from Afghanistan on the C-130 transport planes, being distributed through the mafia and through all these different illicit channels and being used to fund the illegal wars and the black ops and the Exchange Stability Fund. And we have gone and talked about this stuff in detail. And this whole thing with the heroin coming out of Afghanistan into the United States is a nightmare. We still have tens of thousands of troops in Afghanistan, and they're there primarily, you got it, guys, to guard the poppy crops, and that's why they're pretty much being used now. One in three U.S. antibiotic prescriptions are unnecessary. Experts are warning that we're having all kinds of diseases that are coming up now that antibiotics are no longer working and no longer effective with. And U.S. giant Danone Foods announces plan to remove all dairy supplies and farmers who don't comply with GMO-free standards. Way to go, Danone. I'm going to repeat that. This is good news. Giant Danone has Danone yogurt has announced plan to remove all dairy supplies and farmers who don't comply with GMO-free standards. This is huge. It's a huge story. And congratulations to Danone yogurts that they're doing this. Another article, nearly a quarter of all fish sold in stores and restaurants is mislabeled, Doug. They've processed these giant processing ships. Then they tell you what they're sending you, and they're mislabeled almost constantly, including the sea bass, salmon, bluefin, tuna. Almost every one of these are found to be incorrectly identified in probably 50% of the cases, and they have no fish DNA they're talking about because they simply don't care. And so their fish is there, they can get a lot more money for the tuna than they can for, than a grouper. And so they're going to make sure they get more money for what they're getting for your thing. A pediatrician has warned that the programming of children for transgender is basically child abuse, and these children are not old enough to make these decisions, and they don't have, it's just child abuse, and now they're saying that kids should be able to decide if they want to commit suicide over there, by the way, in the Netherlands now. And they said now their minimum age is 13 to decide if they want to kill themselves. And now they're saying that there shouldn't be no limit, and the child should be able to decide they want to die. It doesn't matter what their ages are, Doug, over there in Europe. So, yes, the Lucius Trust or the Lucifer Group have basically taken over Europe, and they're telling the kids to go ahead and commit suicide as soon as they want to commit suicide. Two more articles.
That's just merely eighth or ninth trimester abortion, basically.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. But they're doing it with kids, and they want to reduce the age to 2 or 3. So if a 3-year-old says, "I want to die," okay, let you die. And they don't even reach, most people don't even reach the age of concrete rational thought until their 20s. And so in their 20s, they start thinking right. But these kids want to kill themselves at 12 and 13. Are you joking me?
Yeah, I've met the many that still haven't reached that level of rational thought, but that's another story. All right.
Final story on this health part is the Italian court has ruled that stealing food is not a crime if you're hungry. And they're setting the stage, according to this author, Daniel Barker, for massive looting and wholesale theft as global societies continue to crumble. So there we have it. Now we're ready to start on the non-health related topics, Doug. So what do you think about what we've covered so far?
Well, I think it's important, and people have to understand that these segments are so important because when we're looking at really waging the battle, and you know, we had that discussion earlier this week, and we have a few minutes at the top of the hour here, but we had a discussion earlier this week, or I guess I had a monologue as opposed to a discussion about, you know, how we are to occupy until he comes, and we have been given the gift of life, and we have been born into this world, and how some Christians want to cherry pick and differentiate between, you know, you can't be. And Joe and I had a discussion about this after the show, but
cherry picking scriptures and taking them out of context.
Right, right. So we have to. What we've got to do is we've got to be able. We've got to show up, stand up, and stand for what is right, morally and spiritually right. And we've got to be good stewards with our lives, our bodies. I mean, this is where you come in. And I guess I said that to say this. We must saddle for battle. We must be prepared to fight. And when I say fight, I'm talking about fight the spiritual battle as much as the battle here on terra firma. And in order to do that, we can't fight from a position physically of impairment, especially when it's self-inflicted. So this is why this is so important, because we really need mental clarity and physical strength, as well as that spiritual purity and that spiritual strength as well. So they're locked together, in my view. So what we do, you know, I mean, that's why it's so important. I mean, we have, I don't know what else to say. Except to say this, and in your absence, Ted, you know, I had received a couple of emails, and I heard the former guest on our show saying, well, you know, we really can't be of this world, or we can't really become involved in things, and I'm paraphrasing here, we can't become involved in things of this world if we want to be spiritual, if we want to be good Christians.
Well, people need to understand that being of this world means conforming to the world and the world's laws, standards, and man-made laws and standards. We are told to occupy till we come. We are told to stand in the gap. We're told to feed the widows and the homeless and help those who are less fortunate than us.
Right.
And if people can't differentiate between the two, that's sad. I mean, that's sad, but we...
Yeah. But we get taken to the woodshed, you know, Ted, for saying, hey, we have to be present and protect ourselves, protect our families, spread the word of God, and as well as be virtuous and spiritual in the word of God, you know, follow the Bible. But anyway, that's a whole other topic, but so important, Ted. So important what you said. Thank you for all that. Thanks, Ted. The current events, buddy.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.